is about to finish and another is soon to begin. So repentance may seem like a bit of an odd thing to be talking about this time of year. And yet as we set out on the road ahead, leaving our mistakes behind, turning away from them as it were, is incredibly important because there is such power, I mean incredible power in repentance. I'm Bernie Diamond and it's great to be back with you again. Today on the program we're going to take a look at turning over a new leaf from a different perspective. What are the nasty little sins that you're hanging on to in your life? You know, you've given everything else over to God except just this one. It may be something like gossiping and complaining, something that's evident to all. Or it might be something you do in secret, sexual immorality that nobody except God and you can ever see. Whatever it is, there is no such thing as a small, insignificant sin. If that one thing you're holding back from God were the only sin in all of human history, Jesus would still have come to die for you because the penalty for that one little insignificant sin is eternal separation from God. No sin is small to God, and as things turn out, no sin is too small for Satan either because it gives him a foothold into your life. In fact, he doesn't even need a foothold. Just a toehold will do. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27 tells us that we shouldn't make room for the devil. And there's a reason for that. When I was in the military studying tactics and strategy for war, one of the things they taught us was that if you were invading a piece of land from the sea, the first thing that you had to do was establish a beachhead, a small piece of land that you'd secure by putting your forces on the ground so that you could safely land the rest of your force. Without that secure beachhead, it was impossible to land the rest of your force and complete your objective. And putting the shoe on the other foot, if you were the defending force on the land trying to stop an enemy invading you from the sea, you would do everything you possibly could to deny them a secure beachhead because you knew that without it they'd fail. That one bit that we're holding back from God is like a secure beachhead for Satan because only the power of God can secure it for you. Problem is, you've kept God out of that part in your life. So you're giving Satan free rein to plunder the rest of your life from that one beachhead. Now, let me ask you, when that happens, can you really blame God for a lack of contentment in your life? Well, of course you can't. Contentment is a gift from God. It's really important to him. He really wants you and me to be content. But sin is going to rob us of that contentment each and every time. That's why repentance is such a powerful thing, because whilst you're under the power of sin, you can't be content. Let's continue with the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 as he shares the power, God's power, of repentance with us. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, making holiness perfect in the fear of God. For even when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted in every way, disputes without and fears within. But God, who consoles the downcast, consoled us by the arrival of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was consoled about you, as he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced still the more. For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I don't regret it, though I did regret it, for I see that I grieved you with that letter, though only briefly. Now I rejoice, but not because you were grieved, but because your grief led to repentance. For you felt a godly grief, so that you were not harmed in any way by us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation and brings no regret, but worldly grief produces death. For see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point, you have proved yourselves guiltless in this matter. So, although I wrote to you, it was not on account of the one who did the wrong, nor on account of the one who was wronged, but in order that your zeal for us might be made known to you before God. In this we find comfort. In addition to our own consolation, we rejoice still the more at the joy of Titus, because his mind had been set fully at rest by all of you. For if I have been somewhat boastful about you to him, I was not disgraced. But just as everything we said to you was true, so our boasting to Titus has proven true as well. And his heart goes out all the more to you as he remembers the obedience of you all and how you welcomed him with fear and trembling. I rejoice because I have complete confidence in you. Now, Paul here talks about making the Corinthians, whom he's writing to here, sorry with his letter. He's talking about his first letter to them, that book in the New Testament that we now call 1 Corinthians, which was a sternly written letter admonishing them for all kinds of sin, for sexual immorality, for idol worship, for disunity, all sorts of stuff. If you or I received a letter like 1 Corinthians, I tell you, we'd be pretty hurt and annoyed, I'd expect. All the while, Paul and his friends are suffering greatly for the sake of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. So Paul sends his friend Titus to Corinth to see how the Corinthians are getting on after his first rather harsh letter. And Titus comes back to report that the letters had the most amazing impact because they have repented. They've turned away from their sins. They've let God in to reign and to rule as Lord. It was a letter that led the Corinthians to grief. Discontentment, if you will. They realized their ways and they realized they had to change. That godly discontentment led them on a path to repentance. And that's exactly what's meant to happen. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation and brings no regret. But worldly grief produces death. Sometimes the reason we're not contented is that sin is robbing us of our contentment. But when we come to our senses and change our minds, and that's what the word repentance means, then that grief leads to salvation without regrets. That's the place where contentment begins. That's the power of repentance. Repentance brings contentment. It's cause and effect. Do you notice the contrast that Paul makes between godly grief and worldly grief? Worldly grief, he says, produces death. So when we're discontent because we're chasing after the things of this world, fame and fortune and sex and comfort and whatever it is, those are the things that lead us away from God and in the end to death, a Christless eternity. On the other hand, when we grab a hold of our discontentment and we realize that it's there because sin is robbing us of the gift of contentment that God has for us, what we can do is turn things around by turning away from that rubbish and turning back to God. Ditching the rubbish and claiming God. Repenting is coming to that point of realizing just how stupid we were all along to hold on to this little bit of our lives, this little sin back from God. And in so doing, giving the devil a beachhead from which to plunder the rest of our lives and turning back to God and asking him for his forgiveness and his power to live our lives for him. When the enemy's plundering your territory, you cannot be content. That's as plain as the nose on your face and mine. But repenting means kicking him out of our lives by the power of God. And at that point, contentment and delight and joy and peace start to return again. I'm going to say it again. There is no such thing as a small, insignificant sin, because every sin is punishable by eternal separation from God. And every sin, no matter how insy-winsy tiny it is, provides a more than ample toehold for the devil to establish his kingdom of darkness in your life and plunder you from within. Sin robs you of contentment. Repentance restores the conditions that allow contentment to grow. There's no middle ground. The Word of God is alive and active, amen, with the power to transform your life, to help you be all that God made you to be. And that's what the Fresh Daily Devotional is all about. It's completely free, and I'd love to send it to you. Each day, you'll receive a life-changing scripture together with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement from me, delivered right to your inbox where you can choose to read, listen, or watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. Remember, God's Word is the power to change, and it's fresh for you each day. You can subscribe to receive your free daily devotional at freshdevotional.org. And as a bonus, we'll also send you a free copy of my ebook, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? My prayer is that your heart will be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through the power of his word. Again, that web address is freshdevotional.org. Hey, God bless you. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow. with a different perspective.